believe the Lord has got something for us tonight. And Psalm 16 and 8. And we have come to have church. Somebody say amen. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I feel the liberty and the power and the presence of God in this place. How many could testify and say amen? And we're going to go to Psalm 16. And if you could stand in honor of reading of the Word of the Lord, if you're able to stand. And I want to let the elders know, you don't have to, in a good way, you don't have to let me know why you don't stand. I understand. And but if you're physically able to stand and it takes you less time to get back up and down, I'd appreciate if you would stand. And Psalm 16 and 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. The New Living Translation says, I know the Lord is always with me.
All right.
I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me.
Amen.
Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Let's read this together. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's read the end of that again. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I'm going to just preach for a little bit on this thought. There is joy.
Yeah.
There is joy. Tell your neighbor, there's joy. There's joy. Amen. Would you lift your voices to the Lord one more time and just thank the Lord. Don't ask Him for anything. Just thank Him for what He's done and what He's going to do. Father, we thank You for what You've done, God. We thank You for what You're going to do in this place tonight already. You've done incredible things, God, but we believe that there's more to come, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. For in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The presence, when you break that word presence, it's the immediate vicinity. It's the attendance, the occupancy, the habitation. In fact, this psalm of David is right before the prayer of David in Psalm 17 is a prayer of David, and then this is a psalm of David, and it's a song actually, and it's really to trust in God's preservation. And this psalm of David is quoted in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Specifically, Peter quoted it as well as Paul in the book of Acts. And Peter quoted a portion of it in Acts chapter 2, verse 25 through 38, and also in Acts chapter 2, verse 31. But Paul, the apostle Paul, quoted a portion of this psalm in Acts chapter 13, verse 35 through 37. And some people's presence is uncomfortable. Some people, when you see them, you kind of get that feeling in your stomach, or kind of like you maybe it's an uncomfortable situation, or they made you mad, they offended you, they did something to you, and so when you see them, there's a whole bucket of emotions that kind of come along with it. Maybe you show up to a person's place of business to buy something or to eat, and it's as if you're not the customer, but you are a nuisance or a bother to them. You're like, well, hey, I thought this was the place I come to buy something. And the way you're acting is like, man, I'm a bother. I am a paying customer. No, I may not look like it, but I do have some money. I can buy something here. And if I can't, you make me mad enough, I may just charge you just to show you that I could buy it. But I remember, you know, maybe you go to places to eat and you stand around and nobody offers you to sit down. They say, please wait to be seated. You know, they got one of those fancy signs and Sister Lori, but nobody comes to offer you to sit down. You just kind of wait, what do we do? And you finally, if you're like pastor, you either sit yourself down or you leave. You just don't wait there for 20 minutes. But you know, then there's places that you would go to, or events that you would go to, that you would drive 3 hours to a wedding, get all dressed up, show up, and scrunched together in a row with a bunch of friends and family members and strangers. Everyone's looking all festive. The kids are probably looking a little grumpy. Little Nate's sitting there with his suit on and keeps pulling his tie off because he feels like it's choking him. The wedding never starts on time. Pretty soon, Aunt Terry starts passing around Mentos and the rumbling of conversation fills the auditorium and the door swings open and Pastor and the groom walks out and they make their way to the platform and then there's a hush and pictures are taken and a few minutes later the back door swings open and the bridesmaids and groomsmen walk in and everyone's waving and everybody's smiling and, but then that moment that everybody has been waiting for comes. The pianist so graciously taps the B key on the piano and the bridal chorus starts and the bride comes walking down the aisle and almost as if on cue, as if everybody's practiced it, everyone stands and turns towards the bride.
Yeah.
Even good old hard of hearing, no manners, Uncle Joe stands up and everyone in the building has their attention on that beautiful bride as she comes strolling down the aisle in her beautiful white dress that she starved herself all year, broke her father's bank just to be able to wear it for 30 minutes and take some pictures in it. And everybody in the building is either smiling or crying and oohing and awing at the beautiful dress and her hair and how happy she looks and oh, look at the dress and wow, her dad's going to have to get another job to pay for that dress. And if you're like Pastor, you're wondering when it's going to be over and what they have to eat. And the bride is strolling and smiling and dad is probably holding back tears and folks are taking pictures and videoing and everyone's focused on the bride and there's joy in that auditorium. The married couples in the building are holding hands and just remembering what it was like. The single people are hoping that they would catch the flower that gets thrown out. But the bride by her presence changes the mood of the room and causes folks that would normally never stand or smile to stand and smile even if it's just for a few moments. The invitation of the bride caused some people to get a day off of work and drive and wear a suit and tie or at least take a shower and shave for the first time in a decade. And the invitation to the wedding was for those that were connected to the bride no matter what the parents or brothers and sisters said. If the bride wanted them there,
Yeah. They're
there.
Yeah.
And the very presence of the bride makes this happen, Brother Jody. Can I tell you that the church is the bride?
Yeah.
The people make up the church, Brother Palomar, and the church is the bride of Christ. Notice in Ephesians 5 and 25, it says, even as Christ also loved the church, he gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Our Heavenly Father is looking for a church that will make him feel welcome. He's looking for a holy church. He's looking for a glorious church. It means that we bring him glory in word and in deed. Our Savior gave himself when he died on the cross for our sins. And what he wants, as the bishop mentioned this morning, is he wants a relationship with his people. Our God is a jealous God. He's jealous for you. You are the apple of his eye. He's not looking to fill a space. He wants to be the space. He, by his sheer presence, can change the mood, the atmosphere, and the vibe of any situation. Can I come to testify to somebody this morning that when you begin to call on his name, things begin to happen. Just by the sheer mention of his name, that mountains can be moved and peace can be called. In fact, he walked on water and he spoke, said, peace be still. He began to call things that were in people's life just because he was God. He was fully man and he was God. And when we get into the presence of the Lord, The psalmist says there is joy.
Yeah.
See, some folks that when you get into their presence, there's drama. There's some people when you get into their presence or you start talking to them, they're negative. And yep. They may not look like negative until you start talking to them. You're like, whoa, they're negative. There's some people that when they walk into a room, you see stress. They bring stress. Some folks bring joy and happiness. Other people, when you see them walk in the room, you're excited when they get there and you're excited when they leave. But when Jesus comes into the room, when the Lord of hosts comes in the room, when the presence of God enters into the room like we felt here a little while ago, anything is possible and anything can happen when you begin to call on the name of the Lord. I tell you what, when you want to have some joy, you need to remember, I got to get and stay in the presence of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Could be a fearful moment. And you begin to call on His name and suddenly you feel the peace that only He brings. The psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. The key, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. My heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For in Thy presence is fullness of joy. And at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. David knew enough about trouble. He knew enough about joy. David knew enough about hurt and pain and success and failure. He had his share of all the above.
Yeah.
But David understood how the presence of the king can change the atmosphere. You see, the king could be unhappy, but everyone around him had to be happy. They had to fake it. The king could be grumpy, but everyone around him must smile. David penned this psalm in such wisdom for us. He's telling us that because the Lord is with us.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry because the Lord is with us. We have an avenue of strength. We have an avenue of refuge. We have an avenue of comfort. We have an avenue of peace. He is still the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
He's still the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. That's the God that we serve. And with Him and in His presence comes joy.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned a long time ago, and I'm not going to preach long, but I've learned a long time ago that life and circumstances and people and my mood will not dictate my praise. Because
right.
There was a point in time that whatever was going on in my life dictated how my response was in the house of God. It didn't matter how good pastor preached and how good the piano player and the musician sounded and how big the crowd was and who was there and the temperature of the day. But it depended on what happened in my day. It did affect my worship and my praise. But then there became a time where I got a revelation, where I understood that, you know what? That's just part of the tool and the scheme of the enemy. If he could get you disgruntled, then you don't praise him or you won't praise him. Not that you can't, but you won't praise him. And I learned a long time ago, if I can just get in the presence of the Lord, I may not be happy and I may be sick. I may have a lot of money or no money, but if I can get in His presence, and in His presence there's fullness of joy. Can I tell you what? I've had some presence in my car, driving down the road on the 99, driving 75 miles an hour with the radio on, and I've had a good old-fashioned praise break with the Lord because I got into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I come to tell somebody tonight, no more pity parties. Have a praise party. No more pity parties. Have a prayer meeting. Just get into the presence of the Lord. You don't need to be at church on Sunday night to get in His presence. But you can be at home. You can be at the office. You can be on vacation and be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
There's fullness of joy. That doesn't mean that there's little bit of joy. That means that there's, when you break that down, there's sufficient joy, Brother Phil. There's satisfying joy. The song says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. They can take my money, they can take my house, they can take my car, they can take my job, but they can't take my joy. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Just like the Holy Ghost, it's in me. The world can't take it away. A lot of times we look at the things that are temporal. Paul writes about it in 1st and 2nd Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He says, "For while we look not at the things which are seen,
all right,
but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
Yeah.
I understand. I tell your neighbor, pastor understands. Life isn't perfect and we have trouble and hurts and hang-ups, mistakes and fall short. But we need to understand. I want someone to get the revelation tonight. And if you had it before, you need to remind yourself. Tell your neighbor, you need a good reminder. That if I can just get into the presence of the Lord, there lies my joy. Come on, somebody. If you could just get into the presence of the Lord, there lies your joy. If I could shut myself away from the cares of life and get into the realm of worship, I could feel the presence of the Lord. Whether it's a good day or bad day, an in-between day, the morning may have started on the wrong side. You got up on the wrong side of the bed twice and still not going good. But the psalmist said, David is just so brilliant under the anointing of the Lord when he began to write. He said, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The day that we have today was not made by anybody else. It was made by the Lord, and it was made for us. I commend you for being good stewards tonight and being here and getting into the presence of the Lord. But I want you to take this sermon with you, this message with you this week, and say, "I don't know if I'm going to make it next Sunday, if I'll be here Wednesday. I don't know if I'll live past Tuesday morning, Pastor. But I know that if I could get in the presence of the Lord, that He'll carry me. He'll be my strength. He'll be my horn. He'll be my shield. He'll be my buckler. He'll be my provider, my way maker, because I will get into the presence and there'll be fullness of joy."
Amen.
It means that I have joy and I have joy again. Somebody say joy again.
Joy again.
Jesus said in John 15:11, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full." That's powerful. Jesus said that. He said, I want the joy that you have to remain in you and that your joy may be full. Some of you've allowed your joy to be stolen. You willfully gave it to the enemy. You said, here, you can have the joy. But the scripture says, and more than the scripture, it was the words of Jesus that I want the joy that I had, that you have to, of mine, to remain in you. I don't want it to be taken or squandered or stolen or lost or forgotten about. I'm afraid too many of us forget that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where the strength comes from the joy of the Lord. Somebody needs to get their joy back. Somebody needs to declare that I'm getting my joy back. The cares of life may have choked it out, but you need to stand and declare, I'm getting my joy back, and I'm going to have the presence of the Lord in the beginning in order to get it, and I'm going to keep it in Jesus' name. Jesus fed the multitude. He walked on water. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. Everywhere He went, Jesus impacted lives. But not everyone was healed or delivered.
That's right.
There were eyewitnesses to what Jesus did, Brother Escada. Some folks saw Him ascend into heaven. These folks never saw Him again in a bodily form. But He still lives. He still heals. He still delivers.
Yeah.
Brother Johnson, He still forgives.
Yeah.
Brother Josh, He still saves.
Yeah.
Brother Ronnie, He still fills people with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because we have the Holy Ghost tonight and it's in us. Somebody say it's in us. We're all testimonies of this tonight. In fact, I believe before it's all said and done, somebody can receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I believe that tonight somebody was healed, but I believe that somebody else can be healed in Jesus' name, because the presence of the Lord is here.
Yeah.
But we need to stay in the realm of His presence.
That's right.
We need to get into His presence if you're not in His presence. Well, how do you get into His presence? Somebody say, you got to praise.
That's it.
Psalm 22 and 3, one way to get into His presence is praise. It says, O thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. When somebody inhabits something, they dwell in it.
Yeah.
They remain in it. One definition that I looked at and read in a commentary says that it's, Brother Peter, to sit down, to settle in. It's you take up a seat and you stay a while. You kind of feel welcome. You ever tell somebody, just make yourself at home. You know, like, oh yeah, I'll make myself at home. See what you got in the refrigerator. I'm going to sit, lay on the couch. I'm not going to sit on the couch. I'm going to take my stinky shoes off. I'm going to put them right here. Maybe you like me, you said, make myself at home. I put my shoes on the couch, you know, just kind of do it that. But in His presence, there's fullness of joy.
Yes, it is.
When we gather in the presence of the Lord, His glory fills the room. When His presence fills the sanctuary. Sometimes the musicians can't minister and the preacher can't preach and the ushers can't usher, just like it happened in the Old Testament, because the glory of the Lord fills the place and things begin to happen. The minds that were distracted are no longer distracted, and they begin to praise the Lord because they get lost in His presence. One rendition of Psalm 22 and 3, New Living Translation says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. He's a king, but He is enthroned because of the praises. Somebody here needs to remember that you've been commissioned to praise the Lord.
Yeah,
amen.
I understand in Pentecost we're demonstrative in our praise and worship, and that's appropriate. There's much scripture for that. But I've said it before, I can outpraise you without running the aisles and jumping up and down and screaming. Because praise is my praise to the Lord and my way to Him. As long as it's done scripturally, it's a praise. And I understand we praise Him on the cymbals and the organ and with the shout, with the hand clap. But it also, the scripture says, this, the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. It's the lifting of the hands. The scripture says, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. When we lift our hands unto Him and you don't feel like it, it's a evening sacrifice. It's the lifting of my voice unto you, O God, and I praise you. That means that some of us have been living and attending church on the fringes, and our worship and our praise is dictated by what's happening in our life.
Come on now.
When life is good, when money's good, kids are good, relationship is good, then we're motivated to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But then there's another group of people. When life is bad and money's bad, relationships are bad, they're motivated to praise the Lord. But a true worshiper and a true praiser will praise the Lord in the good day and in the bad day. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You read a little bit further. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Can we do that real quick? Can we exalt the name of the Lord together? Hallelujah. Some of us have been hanging on by a string. You've used every excuse imaginable, but nothing has changed.
Right.
You've justified all you can justify. But the fact is, I'm still in this. It's either Brother Bonner and Brother Drozic. They say it often, and I like to hear it. Nothing will change until you change.
Right.
Tell your neighbor, nothing will change until you change. And I'm going to add this to that. Nothing will move until you move.
All right, now.
Nothing will be set free until you let it go and quit holding on to it. Your circumstances should not dictate or regulate your praise and your worship to God.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
Notice this. Habakkuk 3 and 17, as the musicians begin to make their way in a minute. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail. Notice that. And the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. This is not good. But the scripture says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
I will joy in the God of my salvation. Your joy does not come from the house you live,
nope,
or the car you drive in, or the material possessions that you contain. But your joy comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
Your joy comes from Him, because the earth is the Lord and all that dwell within. So if you're going to worship and praise anything, you ought to worship and praise the name of the Lord. Notice what the scripture says in Romans 5 or 15:32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God.
Yeah.
Woo! And may with you be refreshed. If you're taking notes, write that scripture down and read it to yourself. That I may come unto you with the joy by the will of God. What some of us need tonight is a good old-fashioned praise revival.
Yeah.
That's what some folks need, is that kind of praise revival that you don't care who's praising, who's not. You don't care if you got a brand new tie on, if you got one of those big old hairdos and it's 20 bobby pins in that thing, but you just say, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship like nobody's watching. I'm going to give God the glory as if I'm on my way to heaven in a couple minutes. And I'm going to give God glory. What some of us need is one of those praises that you don't care if it's good music, no music, loud music, fast music, slow music. You don't care, but you're going to praise the name of the Lord, because you're going to get in His presence. And the only way to get in His presence, according to what I'm preaching tonight, there's other ways, but it's to praise the name of the Lord. Some of you have been saying, oh God, I want to feel your presence. I need to feel your spirit. Can I tell you, begin to lift your voice and begin to praise the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Notice this as we stand. This ought to be reason enough for some of you to praise the Lord. Because my enemy doth not triumph over me. Psalm 41 and 11. Life may weigh you down. Aches and pains may slow down your praise. Here, Pastor, it may slow down your praise, but it shouldn't stop your praise.
That's right.
Tell your neighbor, I slowed down, but I'm not stopping. I'm going to praise Him anyways. Don't let anything, any people, place, or thing prevent you from praising the Lord. I'm talking about a praise that fills the hearts of everyone.
Yeah.
A unified praise. An unrestrained praise. Not a crazy praise that you're embarrassing yourself, because the scripture says do things decent and in order.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I believe that the power of God can slay you in the spirit and you hit your head on the concrete and fall back. But if it's in the spirit, nothing will happen.
Right.
I'm talking about the type of praise that you lift your voice and you lift your hands and you begin to get lost in the presence of the Lord. And a few hours later, you're still in the presence of the Lord, where the leadership steps out and praises, and the kids step out and praise, and the elders are praising the Lord. Come on, it doesn't take a lot to praise the Lord, but you lift your voice and you begin to say hallelujah. That's all they do in heaven, is sit around the throne and say hallelujah, or holy, excuse me. They say holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, that which was, which is, and which is to come. And I close with this. Psalms 85 and 6, that my people may rejoice in thee. We have accumulated so much in our life. We have storage containers, garages, boxes of things that you'll never use again, but you're holding on to. Stuff. Yet, we come into the house of God, and the presence of the Lord is moving.
Yeah.
And we do the same thing spiritually.
Come on now.
We hold on to the stuff. Fear, depression, pride, your good looks. Say, well, I don't want people to see me like this because I always look good, you know? Hey, if you knew that some things would change while you were praising, you'd be the first one down to the front and say, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm not. This song they're singing is going to be sounds like a slow one. It's not crazy. I'm not looking about people going all crazy. I'm talking about just praising the Lord. And if it's a fast one, hey, find yourself in a little corner. Just don't take my spot all the way. And just praise the Lord. Just thank the Lord for His goodness. But can I tell you, tomorrow morning, doesn't matter what happens. Tell your neighbor, doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to praise the Lord anyways. Would you come and praise the Lord? Can we have a praise revival? Can we do that? There's joy in the house of the Lord. Do you believe that tonight? What do you say? We praise the Lord.
There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy. There is joy. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy. There's a river flowing, a river of joy and laughter. We want to swim in the waters, we want to dance. There is a river flowing, a river of joy and laughter. We want to swim in the waters, we want to dance. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy.
In His presence there's joy.
There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy.
I feel the Holy Ghost.
There is joy.
I feel the presence of the Lord.
There is joy in the house of the Lord.
He's enthroned in praise.
He's enthroned in praise.
There's joy.
There is joy.
There's joy. Unspeakable
there joy. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy. There is joy. There is a river flowing, a river of joy and laughter. We want to swim. Waters, we want to dance. There is a river.